You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Your Dose of Death. As always, I'm your lovely host, Lauren Rosenberg, back with some more deathmatch insight, whatever you want to call it, with another, but I will say it's the first deathmatch interview of 2025, not one that I think many of you were expecting. This one is with a promoter, which is, by the way, as of today, I believe only like the fourth promoter I've ever interviewed, so big ups to you, my friend. And if you're not knowing who I'm talking about, I'm talking about a brand new promotion out of Canada, Toronto, to be specific. They're going to be making their debut March 1st, 2025, which is literally less than a month away as of this recording. Same weekend as the Elimination Chamber in Toronto. I'm talking with the man who is the promoter, the head honcho, the boss man himself, Sean Winfield of Canadian Deathmatch. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all mine because, as we talked a little off air, I want to spotlight not just the old guard of Deathmatch, not just guys who you know and see every week, but new and upcoming names and especially new promotions. I mean, this is a brand new promotion in Canada, which, mind you, does not have a lot, like, has a bright history of deathmatch wrestling, but not a lot of history to deathmatch wrestling. And you guys are adding to what is already a pretty prestigious, history of Canadian deathmatch, no pun intended, on this show. March 1st, 2025, literally the same day as Elimination Chamber, are bringing together the Crazy Eight deathmatch tournament. I want to start off, Sean, by just asking you, what was the process of getting to this moment a month away? What is it like creating Canadian Deathmatch?
It's been a lot of work. It's hard to know exactly where to start, but last year, me and kind of my business partners in this, Dylan and Maddie, we were working with another promotion, more traditional wrestling, like a small kind of territory style promotion. And we decided we wanted to try something different. So our idea was, let's try to put together a tournament and let's see kind of what that would look like. We were kind of looking at ideas and venues and that kind of thing. And then as we kind of started to build the social media, it just kind of kept building. Like, I don't even know if it was a decision, like an active decision to build a promotion, as much as we started working on this tournament and it was like we were getting so many followers and so much interest and so many people reaching out being like, hey, we've been really waiting for something like this. We're so excited that this deathmatch experience is coming to Canada. And then it was like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Let's just make a go of this. Like, let's give it a try. And then we started putting together the tournament. We've kind of put a call out to see, like, you know, who would be interested in giving this a try. You don't have to be a traditional deathmatch wrestler. Anybody who wants to try deathmatch, like, give us a show. And we had, like, I don't know if I would say hundreds, but over 100 people who were like, wow, yo, I'll give us a try. Let's give it a try. And then, just kept building from there. We've tried to have interesting content on our socials. Maybe not every day, but as much as we can over the last few months to just try and stay in people's feeds and let people know that, you know, we're serious about this and we believe in deathmatch. We believe that deathmatch can have a bigger audience and better production and all that kind of stuff to kind of take deathmatch to the next level. So, you know, we are a do-it-yourself team. We do everything in-house, but we're constantly growing our skills and we're trying to do something different and you know, knock on wood, maybe better than it's ever been done up here.
Well, I mean, that's awesome to see. And I've just kind of taken a peek at your socials. I mean, as of right now, near like 800 plus followers. Like, you already have 100 something posts throughout the year. Like, you've been doing really consistent. As someone who is a content creator myself, I can appreciate promotions that put in the work to make themselves look good, but present good. It definitely goes a long way. And I mean, kudos to you guys. Again, it's not easy to get it off the ground.
No.
But you guys have really shown that you're putting the work and you want to give it a better presentation. I mean, looking at this card, I just kind of want to. Look, just doing kind of like a initial glance, you have a lot of different variety here. There are some guys that I know, but there's also guys that maybe I'm not as familiar with who
Yeah.
seem like very interesting people in the Canadian scene. I mean, of course, you have a few foreigners making their way over as well. Looking here also, you have front row sold out, and I want to kind of take a little sidebar here because. I'm just
Sure.
going to say there are not many promotions, if any, that do this. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. The fact that you made a disclaimer about sitting front row at a deathmatch show made me the absolute happiest person in the world because I'm not saying that like promotions here in the States need to do that, but just a little like, yeah, like you're, this is what you're entering. This is what you're like, just that extra step. To make your customer, your consumer, your fans and audience understand, yeah, this is high risk as it gets, even for the fans.
Yeah.
Massive kudos.
Thank
Massive,
you.
massive kudos to you because it's not every day you see that. And I just very much am someone that is a proponent, like, yeah, like safety first. Like, yes, the guys in the ring, they're not being maybe as safe as we are as fans.
Of course. Hopefully, yeah.
But at the same time, we have to. We want to be front row. We want to appreciate and be right in the action, but we got to know what we're getting ourselves into. So, huge thank you for that. So,
Yeah, and I mean, I think a big part of what we're trying to do is have deathmatch appeal to wrestling fans outside of those traditional maybe deathmatch fans. And here in Ontario, you said Toronto, but we're actually in Hamilton, which is
yeah,
just
Hamilton,
small
yeah.
city outside of Toronto. But we have an amazing wrestling scene, especially in this city. Like we have multiple shows a weekend regularly. Like I know the weekend after our show, there's three shows in the same night in
Wow.
our little city. So we have an amazing wrestling scene here, but it's how do we take those fans who are wrestling fans traditionally and show them that deathmatch is not just batter each other to hell with light tubes until you bleed out sort of thing. Like there's amazing stories that can be told in
Yeah.
deathmatch. There's amazing storytellers and we want to kind of provide a platform for all of those talents. And you were talking about the talent we have up here. As close as Canada and the US are, like I think we almost live in different wrestling universes in a way. Like
Yeah,
we have
exactly.
people who are legends here. Like I know you've heard of Green Phantom
Oh,
and I'm sure you've heard of
absolutely.
Manny PCP
Oh,
and
yeah, PCP.
I know you love that Kyle. All those guys that you've heard of down in the States, like yes, they're legends here. But we have other guys here like Matt Cash, Jesse Amato, who never really crossed over to the US scene at all, who are legends here in the deathmatch scene. So for us, getting to host them, it's an honor for us.
Yeah, and I want to definitely go through this turn because this is a very interesting tournament. This is one I love the stipulations that you do. I think deathmatch tournaments with more stips goes a longer way because it
Okay,
can
good.
build a story one, but it makes that match feel important in its own right. It doesn't just feel
Right.
like you're just putting stuff in the ring and just looking at the stips. I mean, you have that Kyle, of course, as you just mentioned, and PD Skills. In a Guns and Gussets match, like, oh God. The Gussets, I already know, but the guns as well. I'm like, wait, are you
So
playing
staple guns.
Fighter? Okay, staple guns. Okay. I was like, absolutely. But that's really awesome to see. And yeah, that Kyle really impressed here in the States. Of course, a member of Total Fucking Chaos. I have to plug them every time because Will Carroll is on my ass if I don't plug them on this podcast. So
Will Carroll will also be here for the show.
I know him and
Yes.
someone else we'll talk about as well. That's a member of TFC as well here shortly. But tell me a little about PD Skills.
Oh, I love PD Skills. If you talk to deathmatch fans and wrestling fans about who is the best deathmatch wrestler in Canada today, almost everyone will tell you PD Skills. PD's been at this for well over a decade. He'll do anything. He's as hardcore as they come. And I just think that PD has never really got the recognition that that he deserved. So he was an important one to for us to have as part of this tournament to give this opportunity to where, you know, if he has a good showing, you know, this is going to be on IWTV. It's not that far to get to a Detroit for a Horror Slam or something like that,
No.
where he can get those other bookings in, you know, the Northeast United States or other parts of Canada. So, I mean, a big part of this is providing that platform for talent like PD to kind of spread their wings in a way.
Well, that's awesome to hear. It's very shocking to hear that. I mean, this is a lot of new information for me as well, because I think for a lot of my listeners as well as myself, the Canadian scene, yes, like as you mentioned, the Green Phantoms, the PCPs, the that Kyles of the world. It's fun learning about these new wrestlers and new talent, because here in the States, you kind of see the same guy, like four or five guys with a few new sprinkled in here and there. But for me, this is almost an entirely new field. Speaking of, we do have to talk about someone who is a considered TV star who was on your show. And I know there are probably some of my listeners and or fans that have heard of Letterkenny, and they will be delighted to know that the one, the only Rush Rancid is on this show competing in a Four Corners of Pain match, a classic stipulation, nothing like it, against a Wade Allen. So give me kind of the lowdown on this matchup.
Okay, so as you mentioned, Rush Rancid was famous or semi-famous for his appearances on Letterkenny. I believe his character's name was Connor. He was kind of a background character, but he was in a lot of episodes. He's a face that a lot of people recognize. He's been training professional wrestling, having professional wrestling matches over the last few years. As we kind of got into this, and I talked about how we kind of put out the call for talent that would be interested, he reached out to us and said, like, I've never done deathmatch before. I want to give it a try. And I think for us as a promotion that wants to provide opportunities, it just made sense to have someone like this in the tournament, someone who is a little bit crazy, especially once he turns it on. And we kind of talked to him and said, who do you want? And he said, I want the biggest motherfucker you can find. Wade Allen is like, man, he can
He
move
looks huge
well.
from this photo. He looks big.
He hits like a train. Like, we love Wade. He can do everything in the ring. He can get violent with the best of them. The four corners is something where we can really have a lot of fun with that. And kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit, I was talking with Joel Bateman in
Ah,
Australia, and
yes,
we were
my
talking
good
about like
friend.
the different things to do with someone in their first death match, and he's provided a lot of guidance for how to put a match together that, you know, will get Rush the opportunity that he wants, but make sure that he's, you know, as safe as you can be in a death match sort of thing. So we want to provide opportunity, but we're not throwing him straight into a light tube prison match for his first
No, of
time ever.
course. No, I think Four Corners is almost like too good of a first match for someone doing their first death match. So
Fair enough.
simplicity always gets the job done when you don't think it does. It always truly does in my mind. So next matchup, of course, I'm looking at right here is Tyler Here versus Tyler Arrow, the Battle of the Tylers, as I'm just gonna call it, in a crazy in a first round match of House of a Thousand Tacks.
So just to
Tacks, man, they get you.
Yes, and this match will have a lot more than 1,000 tacks. We just kind of like the name because we thought it fit. We've had a couple of people being like, you're only going to have 1,000 tacks? No, we're going to have lots of tacks. We're going to have weapons covered in tacks. We're going to have some kind of the cool, like, Big Japan stuff they do where they dip stuff in. And I know our weapons guy is working on some stuff that I think even you, Lauren, will never have seen before. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe you have. And I don't want to spill the beans too much, but he's got some really cool shit he's working on right now. Tyler Hill is another one who has been around for a long time. He's done deathmatch wrestling in especially Ontario, but excuse me, across Canada for the last 10 years. He's someone who's kind of closing in on the end of his career over the next little bit. And he actually retired from deathmatch wrestling about 2.5 years ago. He had this kind of epic feud with Jesse Amato. Amato won, and Hill effectively decided he was going to do more traditional wrestling, and he was done with deathmatch wrestling. And I think part of that, I don't want to speak for him, but was that there's just not that opportunity to have that many death matches. And when he saw what we were doing, he was one of the first in line to be like, you know what? I will come out. of my deathmatch retirement for you guys if you'll give me a spot in the tournament. And it was really hard to say no to that
Yeah.
because, like I said, Tyler Hill is someone really well known around here. Tyler Arrow, you may not know, but he's a talent who's, I would argue, a top five talent in the province right now for sure. Probably top 10 in the country in terms of the indies. He can high fly, he can do your traditional wrestling, and I think his heart is in deathmatch and hardcore wrestling though. He's a guy who just loves to bleed out there sometimes, I think. So these two have a bit of a rivalry going back a few years. They've had their death matches in the past. This is kind of them rekindling that. And yeah, when we talked to Tyler Hill about who he wanted, he said, "I want Tyler Arrow. I'll come out of retirement for Tyler Arrow." And Arrow is someone that we've already worked with in the past and we really liked. So it just made a ton of sense to put that match together.
Well, that's awesome to hear. It's always good to see someone come out of retirement because you're doing something special and that you're giving them an opportunity. Because it's, but I think some, I mean, yes, the late great Terry Funk always said you never truly were retired from wrestling, but in deathmatch wrestling, there is a time limit. There is a timeline to when you truly can be done with this. Some guys just love to keep doing this forever and ever, and you love to see guys, like, as I said, coming out of retirement because of you and what you're doing as something special. So,
It means a lot, yeah.
yeah. So next up, of course, I know hardcore. Everyone here in America loves hardcore. It's kind of
Yes.
wild. If, and I'm gonna put this out right now, and if he finds this, he's probably gonna quote me on this. But if there's someone who has massively improved in my eyes over the last few years, hardcore has become that guy. He's put in the work. I've seen him put in the work. He's probably one of the most captivating deathmatch wrestlers in the American scene going right now. Like, there's guys,
He
the Dr. Jacksons of the world, there's all those guys. But Hardcore, just, he's relatable. He's just the guy that everyone loves and loves to see him bleed.
He's a super chill guy. Like anytime we
Exactly.
talk, he's just been so helpful with information. And like whenever I, go to him with questions, like he's just got amazing insight and he's been very generous with his time. He's also super funny. Like
He
I
is.
messaged him and I said, like, what do you want from a first aid kit at a wrestle, like at a deathmatch show like this? Like just like those stuff that you just don't think about unless you're putting together a show. And he was just like, I know people want a first aid kit, but just give me some paper towel, man. I'll be fine. And I'll be like, that's fucking crazy. Like, that's crazy
He's
shit.
great. I mean, what else would he say?
Yeah, I don't know what answer I was looking for. I didn't think that would be it. And his opponent, Jessie Mack, is another one of
Yes.
those wrestlers. She's a woman who, she can compete with anybody we have on the scene here. She's been doing this a long time. When you think Canadian deathmatch wrestling amongst the females, you probably think of Lufisto,
Yes,
if anybody.
oh, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers ever,
Yeah.
Lufisto.
And we love Lufisto too. But Jessie Mack, I think is just as good as Lufisto at this point. And we love Jessie Mack. So yeah, that's gonna be a really interesting match. I
In a
think that's
glass warfare match.
yeah. So we're gonna have a lot of glass, not just tubes. We're going to have like tempered glass and all that kind of stuff around the ring. Glass is one of Jesse's specialties.
Okay.
Hardcore asked for a lot of glass.
Of
So, I mean, how do
course,
we say
yeah.
no to
I
those
was gonna say,
two?
of course, he asked for a lot of glass.
I mean, yeah, I think that might be the most interesting style clash in the first round, in terms of like what they bring to the ring and where they've been. Because you've got Hardcore who's got all this great experience in the US. And then Jesse, who's been mostly in our scene, like it's going to be really interesting to see how she hangs with someone who has that much experience.
Okay. I mean, every match sounds interesting. And I think that's the thing that makes this tournament special because I personally think eight is the perfect number for a deathmatch tournament. I know some people are like, oh, I want six. I'm like, eight keeps it simple. Eight is like the magic number to me in deathmatch tournaments. It's you already have four matches, four diff if you can put four unique matches on the table, you're golden. But there are some non-tournament death matches. It isn't like it's just those four because I know this. I've seen this, a few clips with these two. Green Phantom, another Canadian legend. I mean, one of the absolute greats of the industry in Canada. Facing off with Jesse Amato, who you mentioned earlier. And I wasn't it Amato gave up his spot in the Crazy Eight to face Phantom?
So it was Matt Cash gave up his
Matt Cash.
spot due
Okay,
to
we'll talk
Crazy
about
Eight
him. Yeah.
to
Okay.
take on Joe Dredd. But yes, I mean, these two have wrestled all over Canada. They've left blood across multiple provinces against each other. Two guys who are, getting on in their career, and I think they want to show everyone, especially because I think, we're going to have a platform here that's bigger than some of the talent on this show has ever seen. So I think it's a real opportunity, and I think that's why we had so many people reach out and be like, "Hey, I want to be a part of this." We'd already put together the tournament, and then Phantom and Amato were both like, "Hey, we really want to be part of this." The matchup made sense. We are so grateful to have both of them, but I mean, especially Phantom on this.
Yeah.
He, like you said, he's the legend. He is the icon. We did everything in our power to get PCP on this, and he was just like, "Nah, I'm not interested, guys. It's fine." which is
Oh,
fine. We
that
respect
Manny,
that too.
man.
But
Oh,
I
that
mean,
Manny.
without those two, I mean, there's just no scene here, right? Like, there is no death match without no death match in Canada without Green Phantom and obviously PCP as well. So being able to get him on this show means a ton to us.
And that's awesome. I mean, I love Phantom. It was a real pleasure getting to work with him last year in New Jersey, finally. And like, he was a huge kind of peel back the curtain a little bit. He was a huge proponent of my clips that I did for him and what I brought to the table. So I always am really grateful for Phantom. But the other non-tournament death match, you just mentioned it a little bit. Matt Cash is, as you mentioned, he gave up his spot in the Crazy Eight to face none other than making his Canadian deathmatch debut, his Canada debut, judge, jury, executioner. Yes, I have to do that, Stephen Jury. You're welcome. Judge Joe Dredd.
Yes, his international debut, I
Yes,
believe.
international debut, Canada debut. You can name it all the debuts for him.
We originally had Otis Kogar. We talked about this before we went on the air, but originally had Otis. Otis had a prior obligation. We have tons of respect for Otis. We love Otis. We want to get him up here someday. And we talked to Joe, and Joe was super enthusiastic about coming and helping us out and filling in. And I mean, I think Joe Dredd is one of the hottest names in deathmatch right now. If you consider what he's accomplished in 2024, what he's looking to accomplish in 2025, I mean, I don't think there's many, if any, better deathmatch wrestlers on the planet right now. So, to be able to get him on our debut show and against, one of our guys, like we love Matt Cash, another guy who has bled all over the place, who he's won multiple deathmatch tournaments up here. I mean, he's a guy who is super well respected, and deserves this platform. He deserves this opportunity against, like I said, one of the biggest names in deathmatch right now. So we are super excited about this match.
And to put it in perspective for everyone, this is being competed in under a light tube prison match. So
Yes.
you know the stakes are already very high heading into this. I know Dredd put out the call. He wanted the best in Canada. Matt Cash stepped up without a single flinch, it seemed like Matt Cash.
Absolutely.
And this is what's happening, and it's wild because I know Dredd's gonna show out. I talk to him a lot. I guess I'm like a Joe Dredd whisperer in a way. I'm able to get in touch with him when others can't. But in that regard, this might be the match I'm most excited for. I know the turn. I'm excited for the tournament. Don't get me wrong, but Dredd and this kind of opportunity, where, as you said, he might be one of the best going today. I mean, he won Cage of Death. He has won championships. He has been in some of the best tournaments in the world. And now he's gracing your presence, even if that little snot-nosed brat, Stephen Jury, somehow makes it through his carry-on.
We'll see, yeah.
And he's going to give you guys a damn show. And I know there's one more match I want to talk about as well. Looks like we got a, what is it, like a three-way tag
Three-way
match?
tag match.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the only kind of non-death match, but still hardcore
Yeah,
match
okay.
on the show. Three tag teams we really love: Project 8100, which is Dexter Doom and Hattie. They're kind of out of
Okay.
the Ottawa, Montreal area,
Okay.
hard-hitting team. They've kind of got that blood sport vibe to them, a little more of that
Okay.
MMA influence, but they go hardcore as well. Empire of Crystal Moon and Matthew Grant. They are one of the most decorated factions in Ontario right now. They decided they wanted to cross over and try something new. We were happy to have them. And Careless Dynasty, who currently holds Deathmatch Tag Team Gold up here. So they wanted to come in as well. So we put the three teams together. Obviously, the three-way, the triple threat, whatever you want to call it, has kind of an iconic spot in hardcore wrestling history, whether you want to think about ECW, you want to think about the TLC matches originally, so this is kind of our little ode to that kind of stuff.
Awesome. That's really awesome to see. And I like that you have this as well, because not everything needs full on blood and gore. But like a chair can do just as much of a good job as anything else. As in,
It's how you use it.
exactly. It's how you use it. Exactly. I want to get into the Canadian Deathmatch Championship because this thing looks gorgeous, by the
I'm
way.
so glad you like it. Yeah, we put a lot of thought into it. I give Maddie from our team a lot of the credit for that. He put it together, and we kind of kept tweaking it and tweaking it. We wanted it to feel like it still has some of that punk energy you want from a deathmatch title, but also has like a almost a regalness to it, I think, as well. Like we wanted it to feel like a big deal. Like whoever wins this is going to take this title on the road too. I think that might be a scoop for you, but it's going to be everywhere. We've got title defenses lined up in Quebec and on the East Coast in Canada. We've got title defenses in the US that are lined up, and we're working on something in the UK as well. So this is going to be treated like a traveling
Like a world
championship
championship.
in a way.
That is awesome. And I love, by the way, I love the video you guys did to unveil it. As
Thank you.
someone who's a Blackhawks fan, I cannot get enough of the Bob Probert clip at the beginning there. Oh, I was like, I may have not been born in that time. I'm a 95er, but just seeing Bob Probert as a lifelong Hawks fan just made my day. I was like, this is absolutely awesome. And I mean, just the prestige you guys are putting with this, you're making this feel special from the get-go. And I'm trying not to gas you guys up too much before your first show, March 1, but the presentation, the feel, the prestige, it's all there. And I mean, really, you guys only have a few weeks until March 1 when this show happens. And my next question to you is, what is it going to feel like when you have your first champion crowned, the show's done, you're probably going to be cleaning up? Like, what is going to be the feeling you're going to have after show 1 is done?
Well, first feeling is going to be, where did everybody go? Oh yeah, they all went to chamber. I guess I'll clean this by myself. But honestly, it's hard to look past the event at all at this point. Like there's so every day, like you, Maddie and Dylan, like by 6 a.m. I'm sending them texts and I'm keeping them fucking annoyed until 10 p.m. every night with just like, hey, what should we do about this? What should we do about this? Where should we put the commentary table? Like, where are they going to set this up? Do we need a curtain for this? Do we have all the music sorted? Like all that kind of stuff that I think the average person maybe doesn't really clock as something that you have to worry about as someone promoting an event. But I feel a lot of pride with the card that we've put together. Like I said before, like we're just three guys who love deathmatch wrestling, love independent wrestling especially, and wanted to try and do something different and leave a little bit of a legacy in professional wrestling. I've watched wrestling since I was 3 years old. It's the love of my life. And this was the way where we could do something different. Like I talked about how we have an amazing wrestling scene here in Canada, and especially in Ontario, and especially in Hamilton. Like to start another promotion that just had traditional wrestling wouldn't have made any sense. So we love deathmatch wrestling. We saw kind of an opportunity here to do something different, to leave a legacy, and to provide an opportunity for talent that they're not having right now. Like there is talent that wants to do deathmatch wrestling, and they just do traditional wrestling because that's all they have access to. And the other thing I wanted to say was, after March 1st, like we'll have our second show announced by then. We've got a third show and a fourth show in the works. So some of them will be no ring. We want to try no ring. We want to kind
I've
of,
heard murmurs of that.
yes. I mean, we love Casanova Valentine. We love kind of the NFC scene thing that they've got going on. We want to build off, the foundation that they've built and try to bring that kind of thing up here to Canada. We don't have a ton of that kind of stuff. There is some no ring up here, but not a ton. And I think we can expand on what's being done in the States and, hopefully bring a lot of those great American names up here too.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I said all the best of luck to you guys.
Thank you.
You're doing, as I told you before, I'll say it again on air. Like, you guys are doing everything right by the book. Like, it's not easy putting together the first show. You're not the first promotion that I, or not the promotion. You're not the first promotion that I've interviewed where it's you're going to your first show. I had my good friends at Radar Wrestling who are kind of going through the same thing as you, going through the same kind of stress, the same kind of, and it's really cool to see this perspective. Especially, you guys are kind of having more of a actual like national impact in a way
We're trying.
because there's not so much of Deathmatch in Canada as is. So you're adding to a history that has been written but hasn't been fully written yet. It feels like here in America, Deathmatch wrestling is almost commonplace at this point. So
Yeah, you guys
maybe.
have deathmatch shows every weekend now, and
Almost
that's be
feels like it, yeah.
we don't have that here. Ours are far more kind of few in between, so
And that's
trying to shore that up
awesome.
a bit.
That's awesome to see that you guys want and you're pushing for this. So again, all the best to you guys.
Thank you.
This has been a really awesome moment just to have you guys on and promote you guys. But of course, I do this with all my guests. I have to do this with all my guests before we wrap this up. I want to
Sure.
give you guys the floor to plug away. Where can people find you? How can people get tickets if they're in Canada, want to come to the show, or if anyone's coming in town for Elimination Chamber weekend? Where
Yeah.
can people find you? Social media, plug away. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. Well, the first thing I want to say, Lauren, is thank you so much for your time. Like getting to talk about deathmatch and pick your brain a bit because you've been to everywhere to follow deathmatch. It's really a privilege to get to talk to you about this and for you to share your time with me. So thank you. I think the most the spot we use the most is Instagram. So if you
Yeah.
follow us at Instagram.com/Canadian Deathmatch. That's our most used platform. We also have a Facebook we use regularly. If you're looking for tickets, it's Crazy Eight, EIGHT, not the number, dot Eventbrite.com. We also have a Big Cartel store, so if you are not nearby but you'd like to support, please feel free to buy a shirt. And we have a lot of people coming in from out of town too,
Yeah.
not just because of the Elimination Chamber, but we've got friends from the UK flying in.
Oh,
We've got
wow.
people across the border, like Detroit area, Buffalo area, kind of all those border cities.
Yes, I do know some Buffalo people coming up for it.
Especially Buffalo because New York is not a deathmatch state. So for a lot of them in upstate New York, this is kind of the closest they've had to see deathmatch. And if you're if you're a hardcore fan, like a fan of hardcore, he's on the show. He hasn't been able
Yeah.
to do deathmatch near his home in a long time. This is only an hour from Buffalo. So
Yeah.
if you're a hometown fan of someone like hardcore, like come on out. It's $25. We've got general admission left. First row and second row are sold out. Come support these guys. I mean, it supports us, but the more support you give to us, the more shows we can put on. So it supports the talent as well. If you buy that Kyle shirt off our site or a hardcore shirt, 80% of that money goes to them.
That's
So
awesome.
we try to support the talent as much as we can. There's a Rush Rancid shirt. If he catches your attention, you want a Rush shirt. His shirt is sick. Hardcore shirt is sick. Kyle's shirt is sick. And the money goes to them, 80%+ of it. So support the talent, support us, and let's continue to build a deathmatch scene together.
Well, you heard it here from the great minds of Canadian Deathmatch. Thank you so much again for your time. From Canadian Deathmatch, from myself, thank you guys for listening to this episode of Your Dose of the Death podcast. See you on the flip sides and enjoy some Deathmatch wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of nominees, and a few of those wrestlers are added for the very first time. Welcome to The Ballot, a brand new podcast on the Countout Network, dissecting the pro wrestling careers of these first-time nominees on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame ballot. This is a place where the conversations begin on whether or not these newbies are worthy of being considered true Hall of Famers. Join me, Ryan Knightsey, as I sit down with a guest every month and discuss if a wrestler has the skills, the stardom, and the significance to be considered one of the greats. Subscribe to The Ballot wherever you get podcasts and follow along to learn with me about the greatness of professional wrestling. Please enjoy the show.